Faith that works. James, the half-brother of Jesus, writing this letter to a dispersed, discouraged Christians who were fighting through a very difficult life. He's reminding them and encouraging them, there are some fundamental things about our faith that must never waver and we must stand strong in. Giving us wisdom in how we live out our daily lives. This is a very practical book for us. And this morning we look at faith that works, lives by the Word. So living out our faith and living out a faith that works means that we'll listen to and obey the Word of God. So if you turn to James 1:19 with me and stand as we read God's Word together in James 1:19 through 27. Faith that works is a faith that will be living out or living by the Word. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, there's one provided in the pew in front of you. You can take that out and turn to page 658 and find James chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible of your own, take that one as a gift from our church to you. James 1, beginning there in verse 19. My dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all moral filth and evil, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save you. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good works, this person will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, then his religion is useless, and he deceives himself. For pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Let's pray together. Father, we come to say thank you for your word and for giving us some very clear, concise instructions about who you are, about who we are, and how the relationship between us is corrected through the Lord Jesus Christ, by our placing faith in you. That faith, Father, grows stronger when we trust in this word that you have provided. So help us this morning to see the value found in honoring, living out, listening to, trusting in your word. And God, may you reveal things that would be hindrances for us, that would stand in our way of hearing from you and following your instructions. Guide us and teach us by the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated, please. To begin with, this morning we find that we are to be listening to the Word and let it change you. Listen to the Word and let it change you. In order to be individuals that find ourselves having a faith that works and listening to the Word, we have to be listening to it and letting it change us. Okay, let's say that we're in a conversation with somebody and they all of a sudden throw up their hand and say, shh, listen. What are they doing that for? What has just happened, probably, likely? They're what? Trying to get your attention because something has gotten their attention. Just the other day was a conversation with Brittany and I heard something in the background, didn't know what it was, strange noise in the house, shh, listen. And so you want to pay close attention and hone in on what's being said or done or the noise that's going on around you so you can see if it's something that needs to be corrected or not, right? Sometimes, is it possible that sometimes we can listen but not really hear? Or maybe you want to reverse those words and hear but not really be listening? You may hear the noise of what's going on around you. You may even be hearing someone talking but really not listening to what they're saying. Is that possible? And sometimes in our hearing and not listening, just one small word in a statement can literally change the whole dynamic of a conversation, right? So Brittany and I had been dating for just a short period of time, And I was beginning to believe that this is the person God brought into my life to be my wife and to spend the rest of my life with her. And so one particular afternoon, I surprised her with some flowers, bought them, picked them up in Hodgenville, met her in Shepherdsville before she headed off to work at night shift at UPS. And so showed up at her mom and dad's house and surprised her with these flowers. And we sit down to have a conversation, and I just felt like it was time for me to tell her that, you know, that I really felt like this was the direction God was leading me. And so I just made, and I never talked like this, but I just made this statement. This is how it came out. And guys, sometimes it's awkward and it comes out weird, you know, but this is how it came out. I said, I'm really into this, okay? So you would gather from me making that statement, I would hope that, oh, you're digging this, and I'm not from the 60s, and so, you know, I don't really talk like that anyway. Don't even know where it came from, but I'm into this, meaning that I'm really enjoying this relationship and want to take it further and want to continue to cultivate a deep, lasting relationship with you. Well, her head was on a swivel at that second and spun around and looked at me and said, what are you talking about? I'm like, oh my, this is not going the direction I thought it was going to go. And she immediately then began to tell me that she had no idea why in the world I would buy flowers and drive an hour to see her before she left to work for me to simply tell her I was ending this. You catch it? One word. I said, I'm into this, and she heard, I'm ending this. Was kind of strange, and it took a while to get her temperature down, you know, because she was really furious. Just one simple word in a simple statement could have literally shattered our relationship from then on. One simple word. You and I have an important word right here in front of us. I hope all of you are holding it. This is God's word, and we need to take that every single word with value because it's there for a reason. And as we're walking through the Word of God, we need to make sure that we're listening to the Word and letting it change us. Let's walk through this together in verse 19. My dearly loved brothers. Now, this is individuals who are following the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, individuals who have pledged their life to Jesus and said, I need a Savior, I need a Lord, and Jesus is both my Savior and my Lord. And because they were living for Him, they were experiencing difficulties. And so he's reminding them, here's what you need to be focusing in on. My dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone, no one is excluded from this. The rest of what's to be said here, it pertains to all of us. It doesn't matter if you are very mature or very immature in your faith. It doesn't matter if you just started last week or yesterday, or you've been on this journey for 50 years. Every single one of us must what? Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Every one of us must be quick to hear. That's always being ready to hear from God as we read His Word. You can't read this like any other book. You have to read this like His book, and you must be reading it, being willing to listen to what He has to say to you. Quick to hear a word from God, quick to hear what He has to say to you. And let me say this, it is not about developing a regiment. Now what I mean by that is, it's not about us getting up every morning and reading a few verses and closing the book and say, okay, check that off the list, I got that done. Now that's just a regiment. It's about developing an attitude of listening. That means we need to be awake and alert. And so it may not be you need to grab this off the shelf, off the dresser, off the nightstand just as soon as your feet hit the floor. Because if you're like me, as soon as your feet hit the floor, a lot of things aren't working up here, right? Are y'all a little bit foggy like I am in the mornings? Just a little foggy. And some would say a little grouchy. But anyway, so it may not be the first thing you need to grab. You may need to walk around and take a shower, whatever it takes, but your attention, it needs to be on what's said here. And if you are not regularly reading the Word, it has to be a regular activity, but not a regimen. A regular activity so you can listen to God. Okay, let's picture this. Let's go back. I don't know where we're going with this morning, but maybe we're going back to a dating relationship. Okay, let's think about this. We're dating somebody. And all you do is spend 1 hour a week with that person. 1 hour a week. That's it. What kind of a relationship would you have? It would be long distance. It would be brief. And it would be inadequate. Would we not agree with that? I mean, are we going to be into this and take this to the next level if all we're spending is an hour with somebody? Let me put it into real church life. The average person spends 1 week or one Sunday a month in church. That's the average now. So we've now just narrowed that down to 1 hour a month. Do you call that a relationship? Do you call the person on the other side of that commitment very important to you? Absolutely not. So ladies and gentlemen, if we are sincere about having a real relationship with God, it's got to be a daily thing. It's got to be a constant thing where you're listening to Him and you're listening to Him and His Word. And so if you're not doing that, let me just encourage you. Here's some quick, easy ways. Write this down. If you're not reading the Word of God every day, here's an easy way to get into this. Proverbs. There are 31 of them. One for every day of the month. And you will be amazed at reading through that wisdom literature at how that applies to your very life and what you're going through. And if you want to add another to that, then start reading through the Psalms, a psalm and a proverb every single day. If you're young in the faith and you're learning and just starting to thrive in this, then pick a gospel and read a chapter a day through that or a section a day. It's not the amount or the quantity, it's about the attitude. It doesn't matter if it's one verse or 10 verses, that as you read this, you recognize this is God's book and He's speaking to me. Through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, the living God, you will find if you have an attitude of being quick to hear, that God will speak and He will speak to you in powerful ways. Quick to hear, but slow to speak. We have two ears and one mouth for a reason. We're to be listening twice as much as we're speaking. But how many of us, it's the reverse. We talk twice as much as we listen, especially in our relationship with God. Your time alone with the Lord, how much time do you spend speaking at Him, and how much time do you spend listening to Him? He's telling us, be slow to speak and slow to become angry. Why might this be? Because, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes what God has to say in here confronts a lifestyle or an attitude that we have in our heart. And when somebody confronts some way that you're wrong, what's one of our first reactions? We'll get a little angry, get a little defensive, throw up a hand and say, I don't need to listen to you. You don't know me. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, hello. God created you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows exactly who you are and knows exactly what you need. And when He speaks to you from His Word, it's not by accident. It's not to provoke you to anger, but sometimes we get there. And so as we're quick to hear and slow to speak, we also must be slow to become angry at what God might be doing to get rid of something in your life. If you've got cancer growing in your life, if you've got cancer growing in your body, a doctor at some point hopefully is going to be able to remove that. And in the cutting of that away, there'll have to be some healing happen. Sometimes God's word comes in to cut away some cancerous things in our lives that hurts, and we want to get angry. But God says, let's be slow to become angry. When challenges and conviction come from hearing the Word of God, our first response is to speak against it in anger and validate ourselves about why we stand where we do. Anger is a God-given emotion that we must control through the Spirit of God as a fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians 4:26 says this. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry. It doesn't say you can't be angry. I think too often we as Christians are taught that, well, anger is a sin. Well, no, not really. It's an emotion. It's what we do in the anger. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Romans 12:19 says this. Romans 12:19 says, friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for His wrath, capital H, which means it's talking about who? God. For it is written, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay, says the Lord. It's not about us getting defensive or angry or frustrated at what God might be doing when he reveals his truth to us about where we are, when he speaks into our lives. Let's continue on down in that verse. Verse 19, my dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, this is what we're to do, ridding yourselves of all moral filth. Ridding yourself. Let's say that we somehow we got in a situation where we're working and we're just nasty. Head to toe, we're just nasty. We've got whatever this dirt is all over us. We want to come in and it's supper time, we'll come in and we'll not come to the table like that. We'll rid ourselves of that filth, right? Just take off those nasty clothes and put on something else. That's what God's saying here. Take off that nasty attitude. Take off that nasty moral filth that is in your life that the world has plastered on you. Get rid of it. Shell it off. Remove it. It's like cleaning wax out of your ear. It requires activity. It doesn't just happen, all right? It doesn't just fall out. We oftentimes have to clean it out. And sometimes there's moral filth in our lives. It's not going to fall off. Instead, it's going to accumulate more. And we've got to rid ourselves of it. But what we realize in Scripture is that when we remove something from our lives, the Bible always tells us to put something else in its place. Why is that? Filling a void. Chances are, if you're removing something ungodly from your life, something else ungodly will be attracted to that spot in a second, right? And so it's important that we, when we rid ourselves of something ungodly, of an unhealthy habit or lifestyle or activity for us, then it's important that we replace it with something God-honoring, because that vacuum will be filled with something. That's what he says here. Let's look down there in verse 21. Therefore, rid yourselves of all moral filth and evil. So this is what the Word of God is doing. It's revealing these things that need to be taken off. And as we take these things off, what's it say? Humbly. And so with a contrite heart, with an attitude bowed before God, saying, I don't know it all, but you do. Humbly receive the implanted what? Word. That's the Word of God, which is able to what? Save you, to rescue you. The moral filth that has been polluted in your life, that is polluting you, corrupting your life, is not something that will save you, but something that will damn you to hell, right? But we recognize that when we take off this moral filth, we replace it with a humble attitude of receiving the Word of God, to receive new activities and new lifestyles, to receive things that would honor God, and ultimately rescue, it's the word save there, rescue our lives when we listen to the Word of God and let it change us. But we can't do it without doing what the Word says. So in verses 22 through 25, James goes on to remind us that we must be doers of the Word. Verse 22, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only. I heard this recently in a sermon by Francis Chan. He was talking about how we as Christians are oftentimes, and this is my words, we are oftentimes educated beyond our obedience. We're educated beyond our obedience, especially us as Southern Baptists, because we do a lot of studying the Bible. We know it up here. But there's a difference between knowing it up here and knowing it in here. Because what's planted in our heart then comes out of our lives. Okay, let's picture it this way. Let me put it down to the everyday life. Let's say that we have some children and we have just told them to go clean their filthy room. Okay? Parents, anybody ever said that? You can shake your head and, yep. I'm not sure what happened in here or what kind of science experiment you were conducting, but this mess has got to be cleaned up. And so go to your room and do not come out until that room is what? Cleaned up. About 15 minutes later, the child comes to us with a smile on their face and they're so excited. and you're thinking the room's clean. And they come to you and say, Mom, Dad, you won't guess what I just did. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking what? Cleaned your room. That's not what happened. They have a notebook, and 50 times they wrote the command you gave them. Clean your room. They show it to you and say, aren't you proud of me? I memorized exactly what you said. In fact, I called my friends up, and all of them, they memorized it with me. We even can say it in Spanish and Latin. And if you want us to, we can recite it to you. Clean your room. As a parent, are you impressed? No, probably a little agitated. Because that wasn't anywhere in the command, was it? Clean your room meant clean your room. It didn't go mean memorize the sentence and try to say it in four languages and get other people to agree with you. But is that what we do? I mean, we'll sit around and talk about the Bible all the time. We'll gather some friends in and we'll get some smart people who can even recite it in Hebrew and Greek, the original language. And we can spout it off anytime somebody asks. But there's a difference between knowing the command and doing the command. And James is saying, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to start doing what you've heard from your father. It's time to start following the command. It says, listen to the word. Listen to what it says. But then be doers of the word. Not just hearers only, so that you're not deceived. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word, verse 23, and not a doer of the word, he's like a man who, looking at his face in a mirror, for he looks at himself intently, focusing, gazing in, goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So this individual has looked into the Word of God and they've recognized what we sang about this morning is found in Psalm 119, verses 10 and 11. Psalm 119, verse 10 says, I have sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have treasured your Word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. And we believe that the Word of God is that very guide that helps us not to sin. We believe that it is a mirror. How many of you used a mirror this morning? Anybody use a mirror this morning? Some of you did not, and it's obvious. But anyway, so you just think about that next time you go out in public. But anyway, we use a mirror. Why? We want to look at our reflection to see what? To see if there's something in our teeth, right? To see if that one hair is out of place, right, Harry? To see if that it's going where it should go, right? What else are we looking for? See if the makeup's right. See if we got our face on, right? And if something's out of place, I mean, we've got something green from last night's supper right there. We look at it, admire it, and then go walk away and forget it's there. It's kind of crazy. If our hair is going every direction and we smile at it and just walk away, I mean, does you no good to look in a mirror if you're not going to do anything with what you just saw, right? Same thing is true of the Word of God. James is saying it's just like you looking in a mirror and then just walking away as if you forgot what kind of person you just saw in that mirror. This Word of God is to be a mirror that then gives us a reflection of who we are. As we look into the perfect image of God, it then shows us who we are. And then it gives us the tools and the empowerment necessary to do the changes necessary, to fix the hair, to get the scum out of your teeth, and to look like and be like and live like the person He created you to be. This perfect law, well, it provides freedom. Verse 25. But the one who looks intently, just like you look in a mirror, looking intently into the perfect law. The law of what? What's that next word? Freedom. And perseveres in it. And is not forgetful hearer, but is one who does good works. This person will be blessed in what he does. Now, the world would tell you that this is full of shackles and chains. That this is full of legalism and legislation. That's just going to tell you how to confine and restrain your life. The truth is, this word tells you how to avoid the sin that does entangle you. How to rid your life of the filth that will destroy you. This, when we look intently into it, is the perfect law that provides us the way to finally live as God created us to live. It's as if God created you a bird and you never knew how to fly, you would be miserable. God has created you to give him glory, and you'll be miserable until you learn how from his word. Now, Jesus gives a little illustration about this in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, Jesus says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on the," what? "The rock. You see, the rain fell and the rivers rose and the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it did not collapse because its foundation was on the," what? "On the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who's built his house on the," what? "The sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. And it collapsed." But notice the last sentence. "And its collapse was great." It wasn't a little bitty, meandery kind of fall to the ground. It was a collapse that everyone around them knew. It collapsed. And Jesus says that the clear point of this illustration is you will either listen to and build your life upon this rock, the Word of God, or you'll believe you've got it all figured out on your own. But verse 25 of James told us that we are blessed. This person will be blessed in what he does. When we listen to and obey the Word of God, we will be devoted to God. That's what he says there in the following verses, in verses 26 and 27. We will be devoted to God. If anyone thinks he is religious, that is one who thinks he is devoted to God, without controlling his tongue, then his religion is useless and has deceived himself. Pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this, that we would look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself unstained by the, what? By the world. So if we are following after what the Word of God says, we will watch what our mouths are saying. And it will be a natural reaction. Because when we listen to and implant the Word of God, not just in our head, but in our heart, it will overflow in our lives. We will do things that will honor the Lord. And one of those things is how we speak. In Luke 6:45 says this, "A good man produces good out of the good storeroom of his," what? "His heart. An evil man produces evil out of the evil storeroom. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of the," what? "The heart." You want to fix what your mouth says? You want to fix what your life does? Then implant the Word of God in you that changes you. And you will be changed literally from the inside out. We can do a lot of cosmetic things. And we can try to fix stuff on the outside and putting restraints on us and restrictions. But that's never the intention. The Word of God is not about forming our conduct. It's about changing our life from the inside so that then our conduct will be evident of what is going on the inside of us. When we have the Word of God implanted in us, then we'll have the heart of God. And the heart of God takes care of the hopeless and the helpless. And this society was looking after orphans and widows because nobody else was. If you were a widow, you got barely enough to survive, and some didn't get that. If you were an orphan, you were an outcast, something that was just cast to the side. As children oftentimes were seen just as a little bit more than property. So he's reminding them, you will be looking in society and seeing those individuals who are hopeless and helpless. And when God has changed you for the power of his word, you'll be looking to help them. You'll be looking to take care of them. And all the while, you'll be staying away from what pollutes you, what stains your life, what drags you down and weighs you down by the garbage of this world. If we're doing the word, it's going to look like this. Stand with me, please. James mentioned that this word is able to save us. It saves us from sin and the penalty of sin. So, question for you this morning is, have you responded to the word which is able to save you? Romans 3:23 says that we are all what? Sinners. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's every person in here. Romans 6:23, another passage in the Word of God says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life in who? Christ Jesus, our Lord. So there's the bad news and the good news all wrapped up in two verses. Bad news is we're sinners, and sinners are sentenced to eternal death, eternal separation from God. But when we embrace Jesus Christ, our great high priest, the one who died for us, then we will live forever in the presence of God. We have to accept that word in our own hearts. Second question is this. Are you living by the word? See, it's not just enough to hear it. We've got to be doing it. What areas of your life is this word convicting that you continue to tell God, well, maybe tomorrow? Or I'll work on that the next chance I get. That's not how God works. You see, God is desiring to mold you into the image of His perfect Son. And every time you tell Him not today or maybe tomorrow is the longer you put off being fashioned into His Son. So let's stop saying tomorrow and let's say today. Heavenly Father, we come to You to say thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You don't sugarcoat it, that You don't just tell us what we think we want to hear. You tell us, God, what we need to hear. And some here this morning need to hear that they are sinners destined for a place called hell unless they embrace the truth in Your Word that Jesus Christ is their Savior and Lord. So God, I ask that You would draw them to a saving knowledge of You, that they would embrace a relationship with You today. God, for all of us who've embraced that relationship, we've taken hold of the truth in Your Word and we've allowed Christ to become our Savior, saving us from our sin, and our Lord who guides us in everyday life. Lord, help us to be doers of Your Word. There's areas that You've been convicting us and we've been putting You off. Give us the courage to say yes today, to surrender to whatever that conviction is, that, Father, we'll be found doers of Your Word and so be blessed by You. Work on our hearts. Father, move in our presence that decisions will be made to glorify You. In Jesus' name.